Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Good stuff on the way for you. We're going to get in some entertainment news, talk about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, how John Travolta got his career back, a couple of other things in there. We'll get to all of that, but it is a Monday, and we all know what that means. Tell me something
good. That's right. It's a Monday, and welcome to the Kitchens Open here on WFHR. This week, we're going to be covering some interesting topics, and James is going to take this one away with the top three late-night snacks.
Woohoo! Yeah, yeah, and appreciate that, Melissa. Thank you. So I thought that this would be a fun one for us to dive into. I've had this put aside for a little bit, and we'd love to hear from the audience about this as well. What are your favorite late-night snacks? Mm-hmm. There are things that just taste better at night. They just do.
It's weird.
I don't know what it is, but ice cream for me is a big one. I
makes
really
sense.
Like.
You're not alone.
I don't know. I thought it was, actually, honestly. I really did until I started to bring it up, and I'm like, yeah, everybody does
everyone
that.
Like ice cream at night. Yeah, yeah.
That's the best time to eat ice cream for some reason.
I'm so used to being weird and being like the different that when I do things that everybody else does, it throws me. It's like, wait a minute. A recent study found 60% of Americans regularly eat after 9, but that includes late dinners. In a new survey, 30% also describe themselves as late night snackers. I think there's a lot of us. I know Terry and I have talked about this. We're grazers. I tend to eat like that.
Yep.
Bed is the preferred late night snacking location for 44% of us, especially if you're young. Mm-hmm. 58% of adults under 25 said it's the number one. And here are a few more stats from the poll.
Wow.
The top reasons we snack include hunger, and sometimes we are just bored.
Oh,
why
that's...
do you snack? I'm hungry?
So, yes. But I think the boredom thing has more to do with it.
Tell me more about this hunger and eating from it. But I think you're right. I think the boredom thing, I would think it's 50-50 almost.
Right.
66% of us usually snack alone, so late night snacking is mostly a solo activity.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, how many people do it in shame? Like that?
Yeah,
that
doesn't alone.
That doesn't come
in
up in
shame.
The survey. Yeah,
under a blanket.
Yes.
Nobody's around. I'm gonna sneak into the kitchen.
I can eat this whole sleeve of Thin Mints, and nobody will know.
I can hide the evidence.
And you do, too. You do.
Oh, yeah.
You wrap it in another wrapper. Like
you throw it away.
And
it's
make sure it's way down
no,
in the
no,
garbage.
I got to put
it
in
it
the
under
garbage.
Else.
And now let's put this other piece in top of it so people can see.
Yes. Yep. And you
casually. So it looks normal.
And you think it'll work. And that
right.
part. Too.
Right, yeah.
2/3 also said that they normally watch something while they eat. Most said TV, but that also includes things like YouTube and TikTok and all of that.
Right, right.
That's that mindless eating, though, where you're not really focused on what you're eating.
It's just there.
Where those empty calories come in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sweet stuff is more popular than salty. 80% said that they usually reach for something sweet.
Wow.
Just 20% said salty things.
Well, I'm on the other end on this one because usually if it's I'm more salty if I want a snack at night. So yeah,
I don't keep a lot of sweet treats in the house. Mm. So yeah, if actually I don't keep a lot of salty ones either. They have pretzels.
Those are salty.
You know, somewhat semi-healthy snacks.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
That's true.
I think that a big part of this, what we do is we grab what's convenient and what's in the house. Mm-hmm. And if you have healthier things, that's all your options are. You know, chances are it's a smart move.
It's a good thing the grocery store is not open at midnight.
I'm telling you, though. I'm telling you. If it gets down to it and you're looking for something, there's not much in the house. You'd be pretty creative.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
The maraschino cherries in the fridge and the juice. That's what I used to steal when I was a kid.
Nice.
My sister and I thought that my mother didn't know the chocolate chips we would steal out of her cooking bags.
Oh, she would know.
She knew.
They
she
would
knew.
Know. They always know.
They always know.
Our top three favorite midnight snacks are cookies, ice cream, and chips.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
What are some other options? What are your favorite options? What are your go-tos? 715-424-2600, 424-2600. I always, I think I mentioned before, I like to get a loaf of French bread and some marinara and just go to town. And just dip and eat. Dip and eat.
Yeah, that's weird. So you're back to being weird again, James.
Yes.
Right where you belong.
I prefer like oil with herbs in it.
Not bad. That's good too.
Yeah. Bread dipping.
I'm sorry, Melissa. For me, it's cheese. I go for the cheese, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
if
my
only
thing.
I could,
sadly,
I would yes. enjoy that.
That is a good one. That is a good one.
I do have some interesting statistics on maybe why we eat late.
Nice.
Ooh, okay.
Very cool.
So I found this article. It's called The Victorian Era. It's a 19th century .wordpress.com if you want to read the whole article. But, you know, we used to eat early in the, like, I'm talking like 1700s.
Okay.
You would eat early in the day because you didn't have light at night. But as we had more, especially when it came to having electric power in homes, they could eat dinner later. So, like, by the 1800s, the dinner hour had moved to, like, 6 or 7.
Oh,
but
wow.
That was a long time to wait from breakfast till, you know, your last meal of the day. So then, you know, they'd have a tea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So ladies, when they get tired of waiting, they would have a light meal of dainty sandwiches, cakes, and then... And that was established then to break up the time from breakfast to supper or dinner, whichever you want to call it. And then by the 1840s, dinner had been pushed as late as 8 or 9.
Because teas, I'm guessing, got a lot bigger.
Got bigger.
They had more food.
They became a meal.
They became
basically.
A meal, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then with dinner being pushed that late, they would... because of the electric lighting that they had. Now, this was mostly for the rich people. So I am theorizing that those of us who eat late at night, we're just pretending we're rich.
Oh, I like that.
That's good, yes.
I like that. Let's go ahead and take a call here. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Okay, so my late night snack is usually popcorn and chips and salsa.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I try not to do that much after 7 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Because, smart. You know, you don't really want to have a full stomach going to bed because all you're going to do there is lay in misery.
Yeah.
And, and, you know, so, and that was one of the things, too. And, you know, a doctor told me, like, try to concentrate on not eating after 7 o'clock so it gives your body a chance to digest that. And then, obviously, through the night, hopefully, that your body is still digesting it so that it breaks it up, but that's just one of my things. I try to eat anything at 7 o'clock. I mean, sometimes that's not always that easy. But.
It's a really good note, though, Kev.
Yeah,
it's a good note. It's something that we hadn't gotten a chance to touch on yet, and that's a good note about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, chips and salsa is pretty much, and popcorn is my go-to.
Those are good ones.
Not bad.
Those are healthier, actually. I mean, because you're usually probably not doing flavored chips. With the salsa, they're probably like a plain corn chip, right?
Yeah, it's a corn chip. And then usually, we try to make our own salsa, but, you know, make it a little, not so much more, you know, with the sugars and stuff like you do, but, yeah.
So I've had to learn the hard way that I can't party like I used to. Like I have a good night time with my friends or something like that, and I'm feeling it for like 3 days.
Oh yeah,
that is one of those things that is a real awakening call. This weekend I realized some foods are like that for me. as a kid, one of the things I used to like to do, what Kevin's talking about there, I just have a big thing of nacho cheese. I grab like a bag of those chips and just go to town and probably finish the chips and the whole bowl of cheese or whatever. And me eating it this weekend, I'm like, oh, I haven't really eaten this since high school. I could still do this. I felt like I was walking, like I had no more gut. It was replaced by cheese. My whole gut was replaced
by... You had a food baby this weekend?
Basically. And it just walking, like, so apparently, like, there's some foods that I can't bounce back
not
from
anymore.
Like I used to either. No. It's an important, and it was late at night, too. And, yeah. and I felt horrible. I felt, I didn't, not only did I not, like, I felt, like, not in full, but I also felt like,
Just kind of gross.
It's a good note about those things, about not only when you're eating, but what you're eating and all that. Mm-hmm. Will I change? Here's hoping.
Try to be like Kevin.
Man, it's hard to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I've been, and I understand this as much as it is difficult and it has cost me roles and different things as far as trying to put on weight. I understand that it is societally wise, it is a privilege that what I've grown up with the metabolism I have. I grew up with my dad and my papa, and I saw when it hit them, when that metabolism stopped. And
it eventually will.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's coming for you, James.
It is. I'm going to come in one of these days, and you guys are not even going to recognize.
Whoa!
Me. Like, whoa!
What happened?
He's just a ball now. He's just.
If he was a foot shorter, he'd be perfectly round.
If that happens, you just got to think back to the Santa Claus movie with Tim Allen. It was a bee sting,
right?
A really big bee.
Yeah. Hey, anybody see that bee? Jeez.
Yeah.
That was a crazy bee. Always good to talk to you, man. Have a great morning.
All right, you guys, have a great day.
You too. Best listeners in radio, call up 424-2600. That is fascinating about the time, how our dinners shifted mm-hmm. and when we eat shifted. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, too, of how much, like, did the average work day, did we work around that, or did the work day work around dinners and all this and everything? I think we all know kind of probably how right. that, what the cause right. of.
Well, and I've spoken about it before, working, you know, living out in North Dakota around, among the farms, and the farmers, for them, still the big meal of the day is the middle meal, the dinner, right. as they mm-hmm. called it. The lunch is what we call lunch. They had between mm-hmm. Between breakfast and dinner, and then they had another one between dinner and supper.
Yeah,
but that's because of the schedule.
So much physical labor,
exactly.
too, working mm-hmm. on a farm. You need the calories to. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't need that many calories now.
Exactly. So that was definitely because of the work schedule that they had to do. That's why that kind of evolved that way. So, and mm-hmm. I think because most people, you know, came from. Our ancestors were almost all farmers.
Yeah.
So I think that had a lot to do with why we eat our eating patterns the way we do it. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good wrap on that.
Right.
I feel like that's pretty good.
Let's close the kitchen. Thanks mm-hmm. for pitch hitting today, James.
Until your next snack, we'll open the kitchen again.
Yeah. Nice reference, Melissa. Nicely done. I caught that. Nice. Pitch hitting. That was good.
Sometimes I get it.
Be listening every Monday for another opportunity to catch the kitchen, to jive into the kitchens open. And Ooh. Of course, with that this segment is looking for a sponsor, everybody. This is award segment.
Award winning.
Award winning.
I'm just calling it award winning.
We'll find out in 2 weekends.
Mm-hmm. We want you to be a part of this show, by being a sponsor, you are a part of the show. Listen to the way we cover our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a couple of our businesses that work with us over the weekend and just glowingly about us. So even if you don't take our word for us, you hear people advertise with us, go and ask them.
Yeah.
Ask them how they're treated. Ask them how we how it is to work with us and everything.
That's
and you'll
right.
see. Best radio station to work with. Best in the
That's
country.
Us.
Come on, work with us, everybody.
We're awesome.
Give our front desk a call, 424-1300. Well, nobody else is going to do it for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, that's
we
right. No.
We are our own cheerleader.
I am proud of James for doing this. This is not exactly in his wheelhouse.
No,
so.
No, it's not easy for me. It's not. I'm very uncomfortable. But that's
Gotta
how much, it's how much I believe in our station.
Yeah.
I believe in segments like The Kitchen's Open and that. We encourage you to be a part of the team, everybody. Give our front desk a call, 424-1300. Be listening next Monday for another opportunity to catch The Kitchen's Open.
Tell me something.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. A little bit later, after our news break, we'll get into the 15 badly named things that could have been better named. Got that coming up.
I like the headline. That's a little kind of awkward, but I like it.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into that one. Looking forward to it. And again, audience participation is encouraged. Yeah. We're looking forward to that. Also, Earth Day, the most and least environmentally conscious states. We'll get into that one a little bit later as well.
Find out where we rate.
Time for some entertainment news. But before we do, shout out to the heart of WFHR, Pam Hilke. Good to see you, Pam. Pam popped in here and usually comments on some of the things we've talked about. She mentioned she brought up the bar of soap in the mouth thing. And before she could say anything, I just had this shocking thought of like, no way. And of course, she said that she hadn't had it done.
Right.
But nothing would have maybe shocked me more in my life than Pam telling me that she had soap in the mouth. Like, I would never. I don't know if I would have believed you, Pam. I can't imagine that. We dive into entertainment news. And during a 30th anniversary screening of Pulp Fiction last week, John Travolta revealed how he snagged the role of Vincent Vega. For those needing a reminder, because it's a little weird to remember now, but John Travolta has had about two or three comebacks in his career. Mm-hmm. Back in the late 70s, early 80s, his star is never bigger. It fades after Urban Cowboy and some of that, and he bounces back with who are you talking?
Look Who's Talking. With the baby movies, yeah.
Those movies and everything. And has a little bit of a rise in his career and everything, but then kind of fades away again. Travolta wants to act more than anything. He loves to act. This is his passion. This is what he likes to do. So Tarantino, being a huge fan of his, reached out to John's agent and arranged a meeting. So John went to Tarantino's apartment, which coincidentally used to be John's apartment back in the day.
Really?
Kind of interesting fact.
Oh, wow.
They spent almost 24 hours together, and the first thing they did was play John Travolta's board games. Seriously. Tarantino had the board game version of Saturday Night Fever, Welcome Back, Kotter, and Grease.
There was a Welcome Back, Kotter board game?
I'm just learning this, and I need to own it now.
I can get. Those are big hits and everything, but the TV show? Really?
I need that game. I need it now. Well, during each game, Quentin wanted John to randomly throw out lines his characters would have said. After they were done playing games, Travolta had decided to help Tarantino with his finances since he was a young, struggling artist. So they sat down and went through everything and made sure Quentin was on the right path. A week later, he gave Travolta Pulp Fiction. Why? He told John, quote, "It was you helping me with my finances. You had this analytic, theoretical, philosophical viewpoint that I need for that character." So John Travolta got the role that brought back his career and put him where he is today by being good at finances.
Wow. How about that? Yeah. Who knew?
Just what?
What?
Just wild.
That is pretty crazy, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you and I, Seth, have kind of gotten on this for a little while now about Tarantino. From young me, in my late teens, early 20s, looked up to him. Me as a grown man, I can't say there's much I take from him at all.
Right. As a filmmaker,
he's been very disappointing to me, and not just as a filmmaker, but as a human being.
Okay.
I found him, and I found some of the takes that he's had. I've looked back at some of his work and been like, why the feet? Why so much feet, man? What is with your problem? What is it? Like all of that? Like some of the stuff that he has done, it's really sad to see that he has turned into kind of a caricature of him own self.
Parody, yeah.
His best work is still Pulp Fiction.
Yep.
And for a guy who wanted to, he has said that in numerous times that he's only going to do 10 films because he believes filmmakers only get worse the older they get. And he wanted his legacy to be, 10 great films, 10 for 10. No. He is a great director and all, but
there's a reason I think he has not even started on the 10th one yet.
It's not that different than George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
And not being able to finish that book.
He may never make it.
He might.
To be honest.
Might not.
He may never make it. Right. So, I don't know. But still.
But for all those things being said, there are things about him that I do appreciate and I do like. And I love a guy like him and his, no matter where he, how big his star has gotten, he is a big believer in giving other people without a chance a chance.
Yes.
He brought Pam Grier back, William Forsythe he brought back, so many great actors from the 70s that he grew up on and a lot of us grew up on that couldn't find work, he gave work.
He did.
costly because of some of the things I mentioned before, but he also also put Uma Thurman in Kill Bill and in an action role, and you didn't see a lot of that. So there's good and bad with a lot of what he has done in his career. Right. This is part of the good,
yes.
I think. Just a quick opinion.
And the movie that Travolta made immediately after Pulp Fiction, Get Shorty, my favorite performance.
Yeah, it's so good.
I love that movie. It is such a good movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. Kevin Bacon visited the high school from Footloose 40 years ago. It's called Payson High School, and it is in Utah. Kevin says, quote, 40 years, that just blows my mind. Things look a little different around here. I'd say the thing that looks the most different is me. It's amazing the power this movie has had to just kind of bring people together and connect on the basic ideas that are behind the movie, standing up to authority sometimes, being forgiving to people who are not exactly the same as you, and standing up for your own freedoms and your own right to express yourself. The students had been campaigning for Kevin to come visit and even offered to support his foundation, sixdegrees.org. That's one of the greatest.
That's his foundation?
Yeah, I didn't know. That's one of the greatest names for an organization ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
Well done, sir. They pledged to create 5,000 essential resource kits to contribute to the foundation's goal of 40,000. Kevin thanked the students for giving back to the community and to those in need. Quote, I'm thrilled we're going to be working here together going forward. So it's not the last time he's going to be there or going to be doing something like this.
Is Kevin Bacon like the coolest movie star ever?
He might be.
He seems like just the most down to earth, like lunch pail actor, you know, yeah. Like blue collar. Yeah. Like this is my job.
Yeah.
And I know that I get paid a lot and stuff like that. But other than that, dude, he gets all the jokes.
He's in on
the 6 degrees separate, the Kevin Bacon thing with Guardians of the Galaxy.
We're related to him.
Yeah.
You know, 6 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon.
He's never not gotten the joke. He's never had a problem making fun of himself.
He's always in on it.
He's never taken himself too seriously.
Yep.
At 6degrees.org, we believe that we are all connected by 6 degrees or less. We connect people to resources, share stories, and amplify causes to make the greatest possible impact in communities.
Cool.
You can find out more at 6degrees.org, 6degrees.org.
He's going to talk about that more. I never heard of that.
Yeah.
Come on, Kevin.
It's pretty cool. That's pretty cool of him to do that. And for those that have not heard, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2024 was announced last night on American Idol. As much as I joke and I make fun of reality shows, very well done by them.
Cool.
Very smart move to release that on American Idol. All the eyeballs on that. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if I'm not watching, a lot more people are watching. That's a smart move by them, I think. I've never heard of them doing that before.
No.
So that was probably, I mean, to get this information out there, where would you go nowadays? Yeah, your local news, I guess. But otherwise, there's no MTV. There's no, I know it exists, but come on.
It's not like it was, right? Yeah.
So in the performers category, we have Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Cool and the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest. Jimmy Buffett and Dionne Warwick are being recognized for musical excellence. Same for MC5 and one of Motown's creators, Norman Whitfield. Big Mama Thornton will be inducted in the musical influence category, along with British blues musicians Alex Korner and John Mayall. Ahmet Ertegun.
Ertegun,
thank you. Award will go to Susie DePass. She's the first leading female executive in the music business. The introduction ceremony will take place on October 19th in Cleveland. It'll stream live on Disney Plus. It'll be available to stream on Hulu the next day, and we'll get a special broadcast on ABC on a later date.
Cool.
So I think this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like this year's list.
The class is awesome.
I think it's kind of like, I'm not a Foreigner fan, but I think it's kind of cool that Foreigner kind of like got the people to get behind them on this. I think that's unique, neat, interesting. It's wild to see a band like Dave Matthews Band going into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like it doesn't. I know this isn't the first time, but him or any of these bands that we grew up with is weird. But it's it's where we are.
It's where we are. Yeah, yeah.
They could make a Hall of Fame separate for Cher and Mary J. Blige. they deserve their own. A Tribe Called Quest is, along with Public Enemy, my favorite hip-hop group of all time, so I'm very happy to see that. That's
excellent.
Pretty
I was
cool.
Very happy to see that.
Cool and the Gang probably should have been in before. But
probably. There's a couple in there that probably should have been. Peter Frampton, I mean, we talked about a little bit. Again, how can you not have him? You know, it was a big one-shot, but what a shot, man.
Yeah.
It was huge.
It's nice to see the Jimmy Buffett and Dionne Warwick and Norman Whitfield, notes and
huge Norman Whitfield fan. Oh, love Norman Whitfield.
But I, unless either of you have any notes on this or any feedback on this one, Melissa, do you got anything on this?
No. Okay. Just, I'm surprised that some of those names took this long to get in. Yeah.
Yeah. It happens usually every year.
And on that on that front, to piggyback off of that, Ozzy Osbourne, I believe, is in already with Black Sabbath. Mm-hmm. I believe he's already in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I don't believe that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame mattered or was truly existed until now. You cannot talk about the history of rock and roll without Ozzy Osbourne. I understand that he's become a joke to some people or a caricature to some people. I understand that a lot of people don't want to give him musical respect. I get all of those things, and I'm not begrudging anybody any of those thoughts. But I will tell you that this is a man who changed music. This is a true game changer. We were not alive for this, but back in the 60s, mid-60s, late early 70s and everything, hippie music, everything is song and dancing. All that is what is on every radio. So that is what the major popular music. There are kids around the world, including in London, who are struggling, who are fighting, who are coming from blue class societies and wanting to put something to a voice to this. I'm angry and I want to put a voice to this. I need music this isn't my music. This is Mom and the Papas, all this hippy dippy lovey stuff. That ain't my thing. I don't want to get into this. I need something that expresses how I feel, and there's nothing out there like it. So what do? I create it. I and my bandmates make it happen, and we come up with this band, Black Sabbath, that to this day is the darkest, hardest band of all time. You can send out there any band you want to me. You can go ahead and send this band that just came out, and I will counter with this band. There is no band that has ever been darker, harder, stronger than Black Sabbath. And Ozzy Osbourne is the main cause of that. Ozzy has gone on to how many guitarists do we know about because he discovered them and got them out there? There is not many people in the music industry that are as loved and respected as Ozzy Osbourne behind the scenes by music producers, by fellow musicians, by other people. This guy I've seen perform in his 70s and bring it. Give you more energy than Rob Zombie, a guy half his age. The Ozfest thing. Now everybody's got, big shows. Ozfest really got a lot of that started. Lollapalooza, of course, before it. Mm-hmm. But Ozfest really put it on the map and on a different level. It's insane. The reality TV show thing. Like, that. How big is reality TV without the Osbournes? it's incredible, this man's career and legacy. And I'm not even a gigantic Ozzy fan. Yeah. I'm not even a big Ozzy fan. I just think that you give credit where it's due. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to make fun of him. It's so easy to just pick holes at his career or, oh, he's this, he's that. This is a true musician. This is a true creative that saw an opening and saw something, a need, mm-hmm. that him and his that fellow bandmates, fellow people of his generation didn't have, and created it instead of just sitting there and whining or doing what record producers told him to do or whatever. No, this was the true rebel of music, Ozzy Osbourne, and he's still alive. We can still appreciate him. Yep. We can still, give him his dap and let him into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I think it's really noteworthy.
Yeah,
I think
well it's deserved. Pretty cool. Yeah.
That again will be coming up on October 19th if you happen to be in Cleveland, or you can catch it on Disney Plus.
Yeah, that's true.
That.
Speaking of Disney Plus, your favorite Muppet podcast released a new episode. Segway.
Hey.
we've got a new episode of What the Muppet Out. Everybody, encourage you to check it out wherever you get your podcast. Go ahead and download it. Otherwise, if you'd like to check out the video, you can go to YouTube and type it in your search bar, What the Muppet, and check out Team Pluto.
I already know what this is going to be about.
Yeah, it's a fun episode, everybody.
And James' rant just now probably gave you a taste. No?
Yeah, right.
He has a cause.
We had some fun with that one, everybody.
That's good.
And thank you so much to everybody supporting the episode. We hit over 1,000 listens and views.
Wow. Awesome.
And for every 1,000 views we have, we give away a t-shirt or something from our merch store. So help us get those views up and maybe you win something. Maybe.
Cool. Good shirts, by the way.
They really are.
I like the shirts.
Yeah, they're great. Yeah. They really are. Bree did a great job on those things. We appreciate that. We are going to get to our news break. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun on the morning show. We'll get into these 15 things that named badly that deserve better names. Okay. We'll come back with that on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James hanging out with you a little bit. Hope you're having a good one. A rose by any other name would not be the same. As we get into 15 badly named things that could have better names.
That was brilliant.
Oh.
That was brilliant.
Smooth.
Just thought of the last
second. I shouldn't have drawn attention to it, but I couldn't help it. That was really good.
Once something becomes known as one name, no matter how they came to be, those names are very rarely changed. But that won't stop the internet from fantasizing and hoping that we can rechange things.
Darn internet.
In an online forum, someone asked, what is badly named and what's a better name for it? And a lot of people had a lot of fun with this one. So we're going to get into 15 of these.
All right.
I think there's some good ones. And we, of course, always want to hear from all of you. 715-424-2600. Feel free to join us, everybody.
Or one button dial in on the Civic Media app.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How about dentures? Should be subtooths.
Substitutes. Oh. That's actually good. I like that one. It's hard to say, though. That's the only problem.
It is hard to say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Contractions should be birthquakes. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Some moms came up with that one. Shout out to them.
Oh, absolutely. Shout out to them. Good job, moms.
I don't believe that I will be in a situation again with that, but I got it. That's great.
That was good.
Any bacon alternative should be fakin'.
I know that might sound derogatory, but I love it.
I love it. That, yeah. And of course, I think this one has been said by every little kid for ages. Iceland should be Greenland, and Greenland should be Iceland.
Yep. Oh yes, we've all understood that.
Greenland might be need to be renamed again in a few years anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, thanks, Brittany.
Yeah. Nice. Similarly, a driveway should be a parkway, and a parkway should be a driveway.
Yes. Yeah. Makes sense.
Shouldn't they say what they do?
Yeah.
How does anybody learn English? How does anybody?
Seriously. Like, I mean, unless you're born and you're forced to. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Right.
And someone suggested that garbage men should be renamed pickup artists. And that pickup artists should be called garbage men.
Oh, I love that one. That one is awesome. Yes.
That's so good. That is so good.
That is so good.
I have to say, there's some really good ones on here. This might be my favorite. I was almost going to save it for last, but I can't help it. Jet skis should be motorcycles.
Motorcycles.
Oh.
I don't know why that got me so much.
You know, as for someone who loathes water jet skis, I still have to give credit on that one.
I really
one.
Like
it's
that.
So yeah. good.
I really like
motorcycles.
That. Motorcycles. Astronomers should be called skyanists.
Skyanists?
Scientists.
There you
yes,
go.
Yes, yes. It's not bad.
That's not bad.
Donuts should be sugar bagels.
Then we wouldn't feel so bad about eating them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just bagels with more sugar, right?
There you go.
And slightly different consistency.
This one, I don't know why, but this one disturbed me a little bit. Milk should be cereal sauce.
Yeah. Ooh.
I don't know why.
The sauce. No, no, no.
What sauce in my cereal?
Yeah. That's
it's a consistency thing, right, Melissa?
Yeah.
Because you think sauce is thicker and stuff. I don't want milk that's thick. Ugh, yeah, that would be weird. All right, probably went to turned at some point.
It'd be like putting half and half on your cereal.
It's not milk, it's pancake batter.
Nice. Now, this one, we need everybody to put on their mature hats.
Okay.
Put on your mature hats. Be mature. Hemorrhoids should be considered asteroids. You can go ahead and figure out where you should focus the terminology on that one.
With two S's.
Yeah. A randomized... I really like that one. That's pretty good. A randomized double-blind trial should be a trick-or-treatment.
Oh, that's good.
That's pretty good.
A lot of these are we have to get scientists on board with these, is what we have to do. Yeah. I want them to start using it very casually. Like when they're just explaining something, they're not going to call any attention to it, but they're just going to start using it. So people will be like, yeah, what? That. Wait, what did he say? What,
well, isn't that how say? We get new words is we just use them regularly?
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got to convince the scientific community to get
them that. Hey, guys, don't be so serious.
Yeah, come on.
Head and Shoulders should have a body soap called Knees and Toes.
Why aren't they on that already?
They should get on.
Yes.
That. They really should.
That's going to happen in the next 6 months.
Even if they only sell like four bottles, like it's worth
yes.
it. It's worth it. And olives should be Grease's Pieces.
Oh, no. No. Oh.
I kind of like that one.
No.
I got to say, I kind of like that one.
No, too pun. That's too drastic.
And the final one I have here, a couch should be a human shelf.
Nice.
I'm going to go sit on the shelf. Sit on the shelf, watch some TV. That's what I'm going to
do. That's kind of weird, though. It implies certain things, you know?
It's
a shelf. It's
does.
Like, how you sit up so high? No.
This is a fun list.
I got one.
Oh, good.
It's very, and I think all kids know this one, too. Like, you know, we were talking about that. Butterflies should be flutterbys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because they flutter by. Have nothing to do with butter. You know? So that makes sense.
Unless you're reading Xanth books.
Yeah.
Try
yeah.
not to.
Where everything is a pun.
You can find this complete.
Yes, they don't hold up. I agree. But.
But. They're good, though. Mm. You can find the complete list at reddit.com. Reddit.com. You'll see things like abbreviation should be a much shorter word.
It's too long.
You know, there is an abbreviation for the word.
For abbreviation. Yeah.
Dyslexia should also be easier to spell. Like, it really should. It really should. Yeah.
They're just taunting people with dyslexia now.
They really are. Really are. Which I'm not appreciative of.
No, hey, but come
on. It's also, I get it. That's a fun list, and we'll love to hear your references and what you guys think on that one. We'll have some fun with talking a little Earth Day in the most least environmentally conscious states when we come back on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth, Melissa, and James here with you. We hope you're having a fantastic one out there. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Encourage you to stick around for Matt and Air on the Air.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure. Check out Jane's show. It's an awesome show. You get to hear one of the best voices in radio, along with some great banter. Always a fun show. And especially, she really knows how to kick off a Monday. You're going to have
does.
A great time with her.
Yep.
Stick around
Jane's
for that.
Fun.
And all of our other great shows here at Civic Media. Let's dive into this one, everybody. And I think this is kind of a that ain't right story, part of it. And part of it's a good story of the day. So it's a good way to wrap up with our final segment. For some people, how environmentally conscious would you say you are? For some people, it depends. They'd give themselves an 8 when they're combining through the combing through the trash, separating out bottles and cans, and a 2 at other times. Mm. A survey asked 5,000 Americans, pretty good number of people, including residents of every state, to rate themselves on how eco-friendly they are on a scale of 0 to 10. The people in New Mexico rated themselves the best with an average of 5.7. Yes, a 5.7 out of 10 was the highest. At least people were being honest, I suppose.
It sounds like, yeah, that would make sense, right?
Yeah.
Residents from California are second most environmentally conscious, followed by people in Oregon, Delaware, Massachusetts, Vermont, Washington, Florida, Maryland, and Rhode Island. People in South Carolina admitted being the worst with an average score of 3.9. Tennessee was second, followed by Arizona, Ohio, and Alabama.
Okay.
So an interesting list.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that the list being answered by the people of the cities of the states, it makes it a bit noteworthy.
Yeah, it's a little illuminating, mm-hmm. too. Yeah.
I think it's never a bad idea to be hard on ourselves when it comes to this subject, but also important to give ourselves some grace and understand that, you know, it can't be so daunting that nobody wants to do anything.
Right.
You know,
right.
we can't get to that point. If you're wondering, Wisconsin finished 27th in this ranking.
Okay.
Tied,
in the middle.
I'm sorry. Actually, they were tied with Montana for number 26.
Okay.
Oh.
Wow.
With 4.7. So almost 50-50
yep.
on that
there
one.
There you go. Not bad. Mm.
So not bad at all. Not bad. And it can always be better, of course, but I think that that's encouraging. And of course, that ain't right. Part of this is not a state. I'm not calling out South Carolina or Tennessee or any of these other states. I'm going to call out all of us. Because we could all do better.
Yeah.
We could all be a better store. We could all
be
better.
The highest was 5.7 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, there's room for improvement.
And that's very high.
That's not me trying to guilt anybody.
No.
Like, that's just an observation, mm-hmm. and that's something that I am talking about myself as well. This is not me pointing the finger. This is me talking to myself as well. And, James, you need to be better, too.
I think so, yeah. There's always room for improvement, yeah.
All of us do the, I should dump this out and recycle it, but it's so much easier to just throw it in the trash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some days that is the choice you make. But mm-hmm. then there's other days where, like, nope, I'm going to do this right. I'm going to do it the way I should, that I know is best for the environment.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
and you make the better choice. But, you know, we have to give ourselves grace, as you said, James. Mm-hmm. Some days are harder than others.
Got a funny one to kind of wrap up on here. I'd say that to this guy, don't quit your day job, but he doesn't have one now, so I may maybe find one. A museum in Germany announced that they had to fire an employee after he hung up one of his own paintings in the modern art section.
Oh, my.
He's 51 and described as a former technician at the museum. They say he was hoping it might help him break through as an artist. He went in after hours. He went in after hours and hung the 4-foot painting on an empty wall alongside works by people like Andy Warhol. They haven't said much else or if his painting was any good. They're not commenting because they don't want to encourage other people to try it. He did get some exposure. They noticed it. They didn't notice it until midday, but decided to wait until they closed to take it down.
Mm.
So it was part of the exhibit for a full 8 hours.
For a full day. How about that?
But all they've said is that the painting got no positive feedback from visitors. We had to drill two small holes in the wall to hang it.
Oh.
So on top of losing his job, he could face charges for property damage.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's not so great. I love that. I love that, though. It's like, yes, right here we have an Andy Warhol painting, and we have our Gauguin right here. And up next, we have a Al Schmengelwitz. What? I don't remember.
Who is this?
Is this in the book? Like,
yeah.
What are we looking at?
What the what? Let's get a palate cleanser in and get some good stories of the day, and we'll kick things off with our schedule. Be sure to join us, of course, today from 3 to 4 for Playmakers. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. Our friends over at Quality Plus Printing sponsored this hour for us, giving us an opportunity to talk with you about sports.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing that a little bit later. And at 3:30 today, Mike Clemens is going to be joining us.
Hey, say hi to Mike. Very cool.
Our good friend Mike Clemens. I reached out to Mike, and he was nice enough to improv with me and pull an audible and join us to talk a little draft, talk about what Green Bay has got in mind for the draft, any draft memories he has and everything. We'll talk about that. I've already heard from some of our listeners that they are going to be reaching out and talking a little bit of Wisconsin is I'm just going to read this right from Kevin, because Kevin reached out. Athletic directors are voting on NIL rules for Wisconsin today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk a little bit about that as well. So a jam-packed hour.
Lots of stuff.
A big thank you to Quality Plus Printing sponsoring the hour. Looking forward to that. And the best listeners in radio, you guys have made that hour very popular. We appreciate that.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot
of
fun.
Can I just laugh a little bit about draft memories?
Try.
Like your favorite draft memories. Oh, my memories of the draft are... so cherished.
I look forward to you calling up, Melissa. I can't wait to hear.
She's not wrong. It's gotten insane.
She's no, 100%. 100%. I own this. I am a nerd. I am weird about the draft, and my fellow draftites are the same.
It's true.
She's so right. You're so right about
that. I hope they're self-aware of it. That's all.
Today at 4:55 on WIRI, or I'm sorry, tomorrow at 4:55 on WIRI, be sure to check Merrill at Wisconsin Rapids High School Baseball.
Ooh.
Hey.
And we're looking forward to that. And Milwaukee Bucks playoff basketball will be on our radio as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm rereading our schedule from last week.
Oh, whoops.
just caught that as I was saying, and I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right. I, Ron Burgundy, that.
I believe the there's a Bucks game tomorrow, though, on
there's
Tuesday.
A Bucks game,
yes,
tomorrow, and that's game why two, I got yeah. distracted. Yeah. I knew there was a game tomorrow.
Yes, there is.
I'm looking forward to that. We will be covering high school baseball for you. Be on the lookout for that, everybody.
Yes.
We got some local good stories going on as well. Seth, I want you to touch on one of them.
Yeah, you heard Melissa talk about this in her news. There is a blood drive today, everybody, from 2 to 7 at the former East Junior High School, room 111. Please park on Lincoln Street and enter off there. Appointments are encouraged. Call 800-280-4102. 800-280-4102. Walk-ins are also welcome, of course. If you get a chance to do it, please do it. 2 to 7 today at the former East Junior High School.
Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that going on today is the Never Forgotten Honor Flight, Central Wisconsin Airport, mm-hmm. is where that'll be taking place. Safe travels to all of our friends.
Yes.
And this Wednesday is Heroes Cafe at Crossview Church. Be sure to check that out. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Do want to remind everybody as well that our friends over at the United Way are looking to build teams for the United Weekend event, hunger event coming up. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to that. You can find out more, build your team with our friend Ben by giving him a call at 421-0390, 421-0390. Email them, ben@uwswac.org, and be sure to find out more at uwswac.org.
All right.
Looking at some world good stories, sometimes an eagle eye can see a needle in a haystack.
Hmm?
A couple was digging up a fishing net that was caught in the sand on a Texas beach, and as they were flinging sand and shells out of the way, they spotted a diamond ring. The ring had been lost a month earlier by another couple. They had asked, they had tasked a group of local metal detectors to look for it, and they were also on the beach at the time, so they helped connect the ring with its owner. Even crazier, before the ring was unearthed, it was apparently buried too deep for the metal detectors to have found it.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Kind of interesting.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, 47 cats were rescued after being found crammed into a hot car at a rest stop in Minnesota.
Oh, no.
Oh, my.
The cats were piled from floor to ceiling, and their owner had been living in the car with them. The owner agreed to surrender the cats to animal shelters, and now one of those cats is a model in an ad campaign.
What?
For Target.
Twist.
Yeah. For Target, too. Not just any
ad. Sounds like a Pixar movie in the making.
It kind of does. It kind of does. And I have to say this, too. Target has done things like this forever. As long as there's been Targets, they've been putting into things in Minnesota and doing things Minnesota-based and all that. I admire it. Very similar to Culver's, I think, for us here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Target has always been very good about that. Shout out to them about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And a hospital in Spain is bringing dogs into the ICU, their therapy dogs, and they're being brought in to help comfort patients. It's optional, and patients in the program receive two visits each week of 15 to 20 minutes each.
Aw, that's great. Nice story.
Good story. Good story.
Very good story.
Be the good story out there, everybody. We encourage you to do that. Spread the word and get us your good stories. We'd love to hear them.
Give the earth a little love today.
Yes. That's a good story.
Yeah, celebrate. Whether it's donating blood or helping out the earth be better and healthier, we encourage you to do so. You too, have yourselves a great day.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Be good to each other, and we'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.